Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors to order. The time is 11:35 on Monday, August 30th, 2021. We're conducting this meeting via Zoom meeting service and a quorum is present. The first item on our agenda is citizens communication. Cynthia, can you confirm that we do not have any citizens signed up for communication on our regular agenda?
That is correct.
Okay, and so the first item on our agenda is item 4, the consent agenda. These items may be acted upon by one motion. No separate discussion or vote on any of the items will be had unless requested by a board member. These items include the approval of the minutes from the June 8th, 2021 meeting, as well as the taxpayer liaison report, section 2525B report, the accounting statements, budget line item transfers, as well as personnel report. I'll give the board some time to review items A through F. And if anyone would like to have one of those items pulled for discussion, we can do that at that time, or we will entertain a motion. Does anyone have any items they would like to see pulled? Okay. Then does anyone have a motion for approval of the consent agenda? Okay.
Second.
That item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5, our regular agenda. 5A, discussion and possible action on the 2022 proposed budget.
So we have not made any amendments to the proposed budget as we presented to you. We also did not receive any feedback from our entities, any concerns that we got from them or from anybody else. Leanna, I'd let you go through a high-level overview of what we presented previously.
Sure. Our proposed budget for 2022 totals $22,786,000, and it's a 12.84% increase over the 2021 budget. There's no changes, and we received no comments from the taxing entities. If there's any specific line items you'd like me to go over, I'd be more than happy to do so.
I had a question on approval from the taxing entities. Is that weighted in some way?
So they don't have to approve the budget. It's actually a disapproval process. So if they disapprove the budget, they have 30 days after your votes to send in a letter from the presiding officer and disapprove it.
Okay. And if is there a certain number, if they disapprove of it, that it can't be adopted?
Is it a super? It's a 3/4.
But is it weighted by market value or is it just of all the entities that vote?
It's of all the entities that elect board members. So our school district, city, county, and the eastern and western cities.
And okay. Schools. All right. All right.
But it's not weighted based on market. It's just a count.
Okay. All right. No, I did talk to one of my entities and I said, be looking out for it. And they said they don't ever recall seeing it. But they also said they don't usually vote if their weight is not material to the vote. So I was just wondering how that worked out. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on that? Okay. Mario, did we need any action on that, or are we good to move on to 5B here?
We'll need to get a vote for approval of the budget.
I'd like to comment that I think the budget is well put together and targets where we need to be focusing for the upcoming year. I think our personnel, we need additional personnel And the addition of the appraisers in particular is critical. And so thank y'all for putting together a budget that meets those needs going forward and puts the appraisal district in the right position for dealing with additional responsibilities for 2022. Thank you.
I move approval of the fiscal year 2022 budget, proposed budget.
I second it.
Okay. That item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take
a yeah, so as I stated in the last meeting, I won't be approving this budget. I think it's too high of an increase. When you look at the parcel, the cost per parcel, we're second highest, maybe the first highest now with approval of this. So I'll be voting no.
Okay, that will be reflected on the record sheet. Let's take a vote. All those in favor of item 5A, the budget for 2022. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. That item passes with one dissenting vote for, and we will now move on to item 5B, discussion and possible action on chief appraiser's report to include the 2021 protest season, 2022 field work, as well as software conversion.
So we are winding up our 2021 protest season. This is our last week that we've got scheduled for hearings this week. We had approximately 141,000 protests this year, 141,172 total protests filed. We still have a week's left worth of protests. I just ran the numbers to get you the freshest numbers. As of this morning, we still have 16,537 open protests. But again, we are continuing to do protest hearings all week this week. We should clear out the majority of those. I anticipate by the end of the week, we will only have approximately 1,496 remaining protests that are unscheduled and haven't had their hearings. This is going to be predominantly late filed protests and reschedule requests. So the ARB has done an excellent job in getting through the volume of work. We did get certified timely. We certified and got our information to the taxing entities on July 20th this year, which was in advance of the deadline that the board gave them. So we are really pleased with the progress that we've made, and we are on target to substantially complete all of our protests. And again, what will be outstanding by the end of this week will be predominantly rescheduled requests and late hearing protests. And we will get those in at the earliest possible time. We anticipate we'll probably continue and have another round of hearings sometime in October to clean those up. For our field work, we're getting ready to start our 2022 field work season. Staff will be going out into the field, doing our discovery and the analysis necessary to relate it to that. But that's going to be contingent on our software conversion. Several years ago, we got the approval to convert to a new software vendor. We've been working with them and getting that coordinated. And we are finally at a point where we are ready to start transitioning, converting our data and going live. So we will start our data conversion next week. With that, we will take the long weekend for the Labor Day holiday to start our conversion. We will also have probably September 8th, not have much availability of staff as they continue to do their training modules necessary to be prepared to start with our new software. And we'll do our data conversion. We anticipate that data conversion and validation will probably take us 2 to 3 weeks, but we will be ready to go live on the new system effective October 1st. So we will be completely transitioned over to our new software system starting in October. We are going to be keeping our old system and our new system and running them in parallel, just in case there's any issues. We always will have a backup contingency plan available for us. A big thing for us the next month. I'm sorry, there's a question. So software conversion is going to be the big thing. In terms of any data or exports that we've got, they are mimicking our current exports. So from the public's perspective, none of that data exchange will change. But we will be going with some more new user-friendly interfaces. Our portals will be updated to make them, enhance them, and make them even more user-friendly and much more, suitable for the work that we need to do moving forward, just given the volume of work that we have to do. So big for us, the month of September, our big thing is going to be our software conversion and getting everything moved over for the data. And that will be our primary focus in September. And that is all that I had for Chief Appraiser's report. If you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
With permission of the board, I would like to have the record reflect our compliments to Mr. King and ARB for a job very, very well done. Excellent work.
Hear, hear. I agree.
I agree, and the tax entities, at least the school districts I've spoken with, were very pleased with the delivery of the results. And so thank you, you know, to the TCAT team and the ARB for really pushing forward to make that happen. In the eyes of the entities, right, every dollar counts, and to the extent that we were able to accomplish and exceed our goals, everybody was quite pleased with that. So thank you.
Yeah, it's great that we achieve our certification. I was just wondering, what would you say contributed to being able to do that? Because at the beginning of this, we weren't certain that we could achieve it with all of the file protests. Did we do anything different? Or did something change that allowed us to certify in July?
We had more participation from the tax agents in informal settlement conferences. We had that system that we put in place where they could dial in and meet with an appraiser virtually. And we had a lot more participation in an informal level. We also had more participation in top lines. So we did, you know, a significant portion of all the work that we did, all of the protests that were resolved, 75% of them were resolved either through informal agreement or top line agreement.
Yeah, so I did see that the top line is 63,000 and ARB was only 33,000. Remind us again, what exactly is top line?
So what top line is after having discussions, we will make an offer to the agent. They may or may not accept the offer, but they can request to get a top line, which gives them a board order. It resolves the protest at the ARB level, but still allows them the opportunity to pursue it to arbitration or district court if they so choose.
Okay, so it's an informal hearing with an agent and the appraisal district. And you agree, and the ARB just signs off on it, but they could still protest. So it's like an informal hearing with the tax agent.
It is very similar to an informal agreement with a board order being issued. So, again, they don't necessarily have to agree to our recommendation on the top line, but they may agree that they don't want to do a board order or go to a formal hearing, and therefore they can get a board order issued. It still preserves their rights to go to arbitration or district court.
Okay, and the agents have stopped demanding a formal in-person hearing as much as they did last year?
We still had substantial requests for in-person hearings. Our ARB, we had, socially distanced 18 panels, a maximum, but we were able to run 6 consistently to handle in-person hearings. Right now, these last 2 weeks have been in-person hearings dealing with the property owners that have requested in-person hearings. We had about 3,000 property owners make a request for in-person hearings.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to also observe that Mr. King gave us a report early on about his plan for moving protests through the system, and he followed that plan. And so I think a lot of the success of the certification is attributable to the protest hearing plan that Mr. King implemented. So I want to thank him personally for that. Maria, I also had a question about your data conversion or your software conversion. Mm-hmm. And you said that they would be running side by side. How long, how many months will that go on?
We will probably run in parallel for 6 months.
Okay.
Make sure that we've got a solid, stable Nude system. We will quiesce our current software system and not make updates in that one, but it will be available to us if we ever needed a backout plan, a contingency. It's available for us if that's the case.
I don't want to be hasty and get rid of it right away.
Yes.
So as long as we can keep that running parallel, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And no action on 5B, correct?
No action is needed.
Okay. We'll move on to 5C, discussion and possible action on adjustment to 2021 pay schedule.
And this is an item that we had brought forward before and we're asked to bring it back in September. And this is just a request to make adjustments to our current pay scale. Again, it's always difficult for us to attract qualified staff members, but given the competition that we're dealing with, it's even more difficult. But not only do we want to make sure that we can attract good qualified staff members, we want to make sure that we're retaining those members that we already have, our qualified staff. And it's even more important now, you know, as COVID surges, we've got, you know, fewer and fewer people having to carry the workload for the entire district. They are really, really burdened, and we don't want them to leave. We want to make sure that we create enough of an incentive for them to continue to work for the appraisal district. So this is just a request for us to implement a little bit earlier the adjustment in the pay scale. We've already approved it in the 2022 budget, but we would like to implement the adjustment in the pay scale and recognize that in our 2021 budget. And we've given you three options of how we can do that. And I'll let Leanna cover a little bit more about the three options that we've got.
So option one would be to increase all current staff effective September 3rd, which is our next pay period. And then all open positions would be advertised at the new rate. We're estimating that this would be a cost of $164,000. Option two would be to increase everyone in our current staff effective October 1st. And then all new positions would also be advertised at the new rate beginning October 1st. We're estimating this to cost about $130,000. And then option three would be a phased approach by grade. So we would propose to move the clerical staff, which is grades 1 through 4, go ahead and move them effective September 3rd. And then our appraisers and professional staff would get their increase October 1st, and with all other remaining positions, November 12th. Option one would be our recommendation to the board. It creates the least amount of morale issues between staff. When you start bringing in new staff at a higher rate than your current staff, it creates morale issues. When some people get an increase earlier than others, it creates those issues. So our preference would be option one, but all three are presented for y'all's decision.
And Leanna, for the record, can you state the cost on option three?
Option three is $135,000.
Okay, so 164, 130, and 135.
Yes.
Make a motion to approve option one.
I second that.
Okay, that item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
I had a question on the clerical positions. I see we have 42. Could you describe what, in general, what are the duties of a clerk at the appraisal district?
The clerical staff encompasses our customer service representatives and our appraisal support clerks. And then a small sample of like legal clerks or administrative assistants. The bulk of that are our customer service reps who take our phone calls from customers and process all of our exemptions. And then our appraisal support staff who assist the appraisal divisions with data entry and plan processing, those type of things.
So you said data entry, that's typically what I think a clerk does. They transcribe something from a form into the computer system. What sort of things are still done via paper, and is there any avenue to save money by automating that, putting it on the web to get that number a little bit lower?
We've automated almost every process that is customer facing. So any exemption can be filed online. We have very little data entry left, and that's kind of why we made the suggestion of more staff, because we've automated as much as we can to get the job done more efficiently. It just boils down to needing more people at this point, and rewarding those staff members that are doing the work.
And even though we've automated a lot of the processes, there is still data validation that has to occur. Somebody has to look at the documents that have been filed to make sure that what has been submitted as supporting document actually matches the application that has been filed. And so that is something that we really have to have staff and eyes on to do. A lot of the plan processing for, you know, getting new building plans, those are things that have to be reviewed staff member to sketch, to make sure the scale is correct, to make sure that getting into the system correctly. So we automated a lot of it, but that does not mean that we can completely get rid of the need for staff members to do a lot of the back-end data validation on that automated data.
And Maria, may I ask you a question? You consider clerks people who answer the telephone, right?
That's correct.
Customer service who are answering questions when people, taxpayers call. And I think that's all clerical, considered clerks. And those are the most, those frontline people are some of the most important folks we've got on staff, because they're dealing with the public. So I think that's considered clerical also, or clerks. I'm not clerical, yes. Clerks.
Just one more question on the clerks. What are the general qualifications? Is a four-year degree required for that or no?
No, a high school education.
Okay. For the appraisers, is a degree required for that?
Yes, we do require a degree for most of our appraiser positions. There are some trainee positions that would not require a degree, but for the most part, we do require a degree for our appraisers.
All right, thanks.
Myra, I just want to comment, and something's happening with my camera, but on the proposed, what I do like about it is sort of a tiered sort of pay increase structure that obviously looks at to sort of supporting some of the clerical and the appraiser staff more, looking back at their compensation and bringing their compensation in line with market standards, I think is the right way to go. It's not something that is heavily sort of proposed increases for management and executives. It puts sort of the compensation right where we need to be, where, like Debbie mentioned, the frontline staff who are doing the work, the face-to-face, will finally get to a wage status that is commensurate with what they can get in the open market. So I think that's a right way to be strategic. It should be sort of a tiered approach to sort of bringing up compensation. And I think that your proposal is in the right way in terms of making sure that those wage owners whose staffs are so far out of line with sort of livable wages in this area is the right way to go. So thank you for that. Thank you for being considerate of the different needs across all salary types and positions. And I give you a lot of, you give the staff a lot of time and support that went into sort of doing the research and finding those right places where we need to be. Thank you for that. And I think this is a very appropriate way to address compensation.
Thank you.
One more question. So if this is approved, it's going on this year's budget. Where are the funds coming from? Or do we need to get entity approval for it? Or is it just moving money around?
We have some surplus funds, predominantly the funds that we will use to fund this is with some of the vacancies that we've had a hard time filling. We're now 9 months into the year and have had some vacancies that have not filled, so that funds will be able to not only help us fund this, but it will also help us with attracting applicants for the positions that we currently have open.
Okay, so no change in the budget this year. It's from paid for from savings for from not hiring others.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on this item, and that's discussion that we just had. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5D, discussion and possible action on legislative priorities and authorized spokespersons.
And this was an agenda item that you asked for at the last meeting. And I was asked to include a listing of all of the legislative bills that I testified on during this last session. And that's been included in your report. I think we previously reported on everything that I did testify on, but there is a comprehensive list for your review. The only ones that I did testify on that were not included were two bills that came up in the special session. And we have Senate Bill 8 and Senate Bill 12. Senate Bill 8 is related to an exemption, and I testified at the request of Senator Betancourt. I was available as a resource and wound up being called up to clarify some of what actually already exists in the current legislature. There was some misunderstanding and some testimony previously that made that issue unclear. So I testified to clarify what is actually under the current provisions of the law to help the committee understand the legislation. The other is Senate Bill 12, and that is a bill that would apply a reduction in the tax ceiling for those persons over 65 and disabled and make it commensurate to a reduction and a compression that the legislature had previously done. I think it was in 2007 was the last time they did that. And I testified on that one, particularly about what the appraisal district and the tax offices would need in order to implement the legislation. There were certain pieces of information that were required for us to do a calculation that there was no provision for us to get that data. And so my testimony primarily focused on the needs for the appraisal district and the tax offices to have specific information in order to implement that legislation. Those were the only two bills that I've testified since we last reported to you guys. That's going on in the special session. They've come back in special session two. Now that we're in a special session two, there's still Senate Bill 8 and Senate Bill 12. I did not need to testify on either one of those. All of the changes and issues we addressed earlier were incorporated in the versions that were filed in session two. There's about 54 bills that we are tracking currently in the special session related to property tax and the property tax system. But these are the only two that we see right now that have real legs on them that we think there will be any action on those. We'll just keep an eye on and watch and keep focus on what's going on. And again, report back to you guys if anything particular happens. One of the things that the board did do in the past is they delegated me to be the spokesperson for the appraisal district. And I know that was one of the things that we wanted to discuss moving forward. And I would prefer if I am and still allowed to be the spokesperson for the appraisal district. But we do have a board member, Debbie Cartwright, who has a lot of expertise, who I have gone to numerous times throughout this last session to get her advice and counsel. And so I would request if the board could also make her a designated spokesperson as well. That would be beneficial and helpful to me as we navigate through not only the remainder of the special sessions this time, but also for the next legislative session that we've got upcoming.
I would absolutely support that. Ms. Cartwright is an amazing resource and we're so lucky to have her on the board. So if we can act on that, that would be great.
Second.
And the chief appraiser did ask me last week whether I would be willing to help out the board with that. And I agreed. I didn't go screaming out the room or anything like that. And it would be a great honor for me to be the spokesperson for the board. And if there was ever anything contentious or something that required a full board approval, be assured that I would bring it to your attention.
Okay. If I understand this, Debbie, you would be working, so to speak, under Maria.
I
thoroughly support this too. Most of the board probably doesn't know that I was a professor of political science for nearly 40 years. And I found Maria's reports not only to be comprehensive, but thorough. And so with you joining the team, I think that that's going to make for a very successful enterprise here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Do we need a formal motion, James?
I think that would be best. And I think Mr. Buckle already made the motion, and I think if we could have a second. Teresa, do you want to second that?
Sure, I'll second it. Okay. Thanks.
So that's been moved and seconded.
Question.
Okay.
So I appreciate this update on this item. I did actually review as many as I could from the videos online. I did see, Debbie, your name listed. It wasn't under TCAD, but I believe under an attorney at law. What could you elaborate what you do and in what capacity were you testifying as?
I had a legislative consulting agreement with the law firm of Lowe, Swinney, Evans, and James for the session. In fact, it concludes tomorrow. It was a 8-month agreement to monitor property tax legislation for the law firm, report to them, and to work on a couple of bills that they were particularly interested in to determine if the legislature was interested in passing them, which they did not pass. But regardless, it was as a consultant for this law firm to report on property tax legislation. I didn't testify. I put in a couple of cards, I think, during the session, but didn't really testify on anything. And do not plan to have any additional consulting work for the foreseeable future. So I will be dedicated to the TCAD cause for the remainder of the year, next year, and probably during the session without any other work that I would be taking on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was just wondering if there might have been a conflict if you're working for a property tax firm and testifying as TCAD.
I'll make sure that doesn't happen, I promise.
And then one other thing, in our, I think it's our code of conduct or our bylaws, it says that anyone that testifies or speaks can't speak for the board unless a resolution has been passed by the board. Does that still apply?
That would also apply to radio broadcasts, podcasts, blogs, et cetera, Anthony.
Yeah, if we were speaking as a Travis Central Appraisal District, does that apply? So if there's no resolution passed by this board, we shouldn't take a stance.
No, that's not how we've been doing. That's not our practice.
But, and I'm not aware of that, that in our bylaws, Anthony, can you tell me where it is? I'm curious.
Yes, it is. It is in our bylaws that unless they've been designated by the board, that no member should be a spokesperson for on behalf of the appraisal district.
Well, I understand that, but there's nothing in our bylaws that says for every issue there has to be a resolution.
Just to be a spokesperson.
We're doing now is adopting a resolution, or we could put it in the form of a resolution to designate the chief appraiser
that's what's on the table.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're posted for as well on 5D for authorized spokesperson. So I think that's the very nature of what we're discussing. And I think to answer your question, Anthony, I think this would in fact, authorize Ms. Cartwright to represent the board.
Okay, so if that's the case, I think you already stated it, but for any contentious issues or issues that there might be perceived disagreement with, would you approach the board and bring it up for discussion?
Yes, I would definitely do that. I would not request a resolution because I don't think that it's necessary to take formal action by the board. But if there's something that is contentious, I think it is important for the board to be aware of what's going on. And yes, I pledge to let you know about it.
Okay.
And I just want to echo some of Mr. Gruby's comments as well. I think Maria's done a great job of keeping the board abreast to large scale contentious items that she is testifying on. During legislative sessions. So I think we all expect that same level of transparency, which has been more than adequate. And I hope I speak for the rest of the board by saying we're all very happy to have Ms. Cartwright as a resource. And we look forward to y'all's reports.
We are happy.
Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, and just for the record, I, like I said, I did review these from Maria that she testified on, and I didn't disagree with any of her testimony at the Capitol. They all seem pretty appropriate. But I appreciate knowing about it and being informed.
Okay. So that's been moved and seconded. I think we still need a vote. All those in favor of Ms. Cartwright as our spokesperson?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5E, discussion and possible action on litigation and appeals related to pending lawsuits and anticipated lawsuits.
Mr. Valadez, can I get a clarification on the last motion?
Yes,
is it Maria and Debbie as the authorized spokesperson?
Yes.
Maria and Debbie, my understanding in my phrasing was that Maria was already holding that credential and we were just including Ms. Cartwright as well as being able to be spokesperson.
Thank you.
And for items 5E and 5F, we'll need to go into executive session for those.
Okay, 5E and 5F, okay. At 12:10 on Monday, August 30th, the Travis Central Appraisal District will go into executive session. The board may meet in executive session to deliberate any matters authorized by Texas Governmental Code Section 551.001 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, including consultation with attorney regarding pending or contemplated litigation, settlement offers, and matters on which the attorney has a duty to advise the board. We will be back in regular session when we have finished. Thank you.
We'll see you guys in an executive session. Thank you.
The time is 12:36 on Monday, August 30th, 2021. And the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors is back from executive session. Do we have any motion on the items we discussed in executive session for 5E?
And 5F.
5E and 5F? Not sure if I can make that motion or not.
I'll try. I'd like to move approval of the resolution authorizing the appraisal district to file litigation on the accounts discussed in executive session under section 42.02 of the tax code.
Okay.
Second.
That item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, that motion passes unanimously. Bear with me, I'm trying to pull back up the agenda here. I think our next item on the agenda is 5G, discussion and possible action to add items to future agendas. Does anyone have any items they'd like to see appear on our next regularly scheduled meeting?
We discussed at the last one possibly a training session, and I believe that this time didn't work because of the moving up the meeting issue that we did. I hope that we can do that in an in-person meeting. If not this year, at our first meeting in 2022.
Yeah, the attorney that we have that will do that training for us has had something come up and wouldn't be available for us in September, but hopefully come the first of the year, he'll be available to do that training for us. So we will try to get something in January or February of next year.
That'd be terrific. Thank you.
About our meetings, what's the status of the governor's orders? Do they have to be in person going forward after September 1st?
What will need to be is they will need to be in-person hearings, but it can be a hybrid. So we would just need the presiding officer and a quorum of the members to be physically present in person. The remainder can still attend virtually, but we'll just have to make sure that we work with our technology so that we can incorporate all of that all at once. So we've got some work that we need to do on our side to do a hybrid meeting.
So yeah, can we do, I know my city council did a hybrid, but they had to invest in some technology to make that happen. And we have that?
We will have to explore what technology we'll need in order to make that happen, but we are looking at it and researching it as we speak.
Okay. Mario, by the time we have our next meeting, we should be out of this second legislative session. Can we just get like a recap of, I mean, I know it's always a standing item, but just a like a high level recap of anything that, you know, is going to be directly pertinent to district operations moving forward?
Absolutely. So far, I only see the two bills, yep. Senate Bill 8 and Senate Bill 12, that are related to property tax that have real legs underneath them. But if anything else pops up, we'll certainly give you guys an update. We may need to wait for session, you know, special session 3 or 4.
Okay. Any other items? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5H, which is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. That item has been moved and seconded by Teresa. At Monday, August 30th, on Monday, August 30th, 12:41, the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned.
Thank you. It's great seeing everyone. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.